Our blessed Heavenly Father, we are grateful to Thee for the privilege of coming into Thy presence and calling You our Father. Oh, it introduces us to that great I Am, the ever-present One, who is always near to help in the time of trouble. And we thank Thee because that we have this privilege. Bless us this afternoon as we come to talk about Thee, to preach Thy Word, to invite sinners to accept You. We pray that You'll deal with us all as Your children, correct us in our errors, and encourage us in the way that we go when we are serving Thee. We ask in Jesus' name, Thy Son, Amen. You be seated. It's certainly wonderful to be here in Saskatoon on this most beautiful day and in the service of the Lord Jesus. I was out to breakfast this morning and I with some of my friends, and I happened to meet some of my friends that I had associated with before over in another province. And I was so happy to hear that my good friend Chris Byrd is in our meeting. I don't know where he's at here in the meeting, but Chris, if you're listening at me, I'm to see you in the morning at breakfast. It'll certainly be a happy time to meet Chris again. The many times that we have come together, and a little story I used to tell, and many of you who have my tapes on, I believe, The True Vine, it's entitled. I was with Chris when this revelation come to me of them old burnover that we was in, and I've preached the message around the world. And it'll be a great thing to meet you again, Chris. Now, I wonder, happiness to let us meet each other again, man that we have met on earth. What will it be when the battle is all over and arms are stacked and the smoke's all dried up in the battle and we meet each other to never part again? Won't that be wonderful, friends? Oh, I'm thinking of a great wedding supper's coming someday. And when all across the eternity or through the skies, the great table will be set, as it were. And we'll look across the table and see each other there. Just to reach across the table and get each other's hands. Won't that be wonderful? You know, I believe a little tear might run down our cheek once in a while. And when it does, the King will come out in all of His beauty. He'll walk down along the table and wipe the tears away from our cheek and say, "Don't cry. It's all over now. You're home. Enter into the joys of the Lord, which has been prepared for you since the foundation of the world." That's why I'm here today, is to try to pull my brethren from the errors of the life in this world now to meet together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and prepare ourselves for that great day that's a-coming. For just the redeemed shall walk therein. And that's what we're here for today. The Lord bless you. Now, this evening, we're going to have another healing service or prayer for the sick. And last evening was one of the outstanding times to me, when God can open the eyes of the blind and make the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. That means God's on the job, doesn't it? Certainly does. And now, I'm almost positive that the vision I was speaking of is being fulfilled, and maybe tonight, the Lord willing, I've got it rolled on a fly leaf of my Bible here that happened on, I believe, January the 14th at Lima, Ohio. I want you to see just exactly how it unfolded, which is told. God cannot lie because He's God. He can't tell something and then take it back. I have to tell things, and I have to take it back because I'm a man. You tell things and you have to take it back because you're mortal too. But God can't say anything and take it back because He's God. He knows the end from the beginning. Something can come up and we won't keep our promises because we can't. We don't know the future. God does. So He can't say anything and then take it back. Say, I was mistaken. He wouldn't be God and do that. He's never mistaken. He's always perfect. And since a little boy, there's one thing, gifts and callings are without repentance. God gives them by His sovereign grace. And I have seen visions since a little boy. The first thing I can remember is a vision. And I have never, in one time in all these years, He has never said one thing in them visions, which has been thousands of them, that's ever been one time wrong. Think of it. I'm 48. I've seen visions since I was about 18 months old. That's right, just a baby. And I have never seen it one time fail. And it won't fail. It can't fail. God. Now, I can't make Him show me anything. He doesn't show me according to my desire. He shows according to what His will is. There's been many things that I've prayed for. Lord, will You just tell me how it will come out so I can comfort the people? You never say a word to me about it. Turn around and tell me something else. But He tells me what He wants me to know. He's my Father. And what He wants me to know, what He tells me, this ain't none of my business. Well, that's His business, you see. But that shows it doesn't lay in man. It's in God. These are just gifts. Now, at nighttime when you see the things take place like you do, I thought of maybe I would take just a moment to try to do my best to explain it, the best that I can. There's no way to explain it. I do not understand it a bit more than you do. It just happens, and that's all I know. I have no control of it. Someone said not long ago, said, Brother Branham, I had a sick spell. Said, did you keep your religion during the time of your sick spell? I said, no, sir. My religion kept me doing my sick spell. That was the difference. It tells me. I don't tell it. He tells me. I don't tell Him what to do. He tells me what to do. Sometimes my desires are different from His will, so then He just lets me alone. But when He wants me to do something, He does it. Now, we see those things so that it might kind of clear up in your mind. And now, today, it's not coming. That anointing is a different thing. It's a different feeling than what it is of preaching. The anointing, something's going from you all the time. That. It's visions of people. They draw it themselves. It isn't me that sees the visions of those people. I'm not the one that operates that. You're the one that operates that. You say, Brother Branham, tell me about... I don't know. See? You're the one that does that. It wasn't Jesus that healed a woman that touched His garment. It was a woman's faith in Him that healed herself. Right. Thy faith has saved thee. Jesus didn't know who she was or what was wrong with her, nothing about it, until God showed Him. She just touched His garment. See? Thy faith has saved thee. Not I healed you, your faith did it. See? That's the difference. Now, this little gift that the Lord has by His grace given to me is not anything to glorify my... If I'd ever do that, it might leave me, or I might have to leave the world. It's not for me. It's for you. That's the reason I can't operate it. You operate it. You're the one who does it. Now, if I come here with ever such a great gift, and you people come in, you say, I don't believe it. Nothing to it. Not nothing to it at all. There would be nothing happen. So therefore, it doesn't take me. It takes you and I both. Both of us operate the gift of God. The gift comes on me and you operate it by your faith. How many understands that? Just raise up your hand and say, I see what you mean, Brother Branham. See? See? So no man can say, oh, it's me. It isn't. It's God. Neither is it you. You couldn't operate it unless it was somewhere to be operated. I couldn't operate unless it's something to operate through. See there? I am the vine, said Jesus. You're the branches. Jesus gives the energy, and we collect it. Now here's what, now like in the Son of God. Now in Him, in the Son of God was the fullness of God. God, Jehovah, dwelt in His Son, Christ Jesus. We believe that. All of us do. I know there's a little fuss about that and about the Trinity and so forth like that, but that's just the carnal condition of man. They both believe the same thing, and they just won't stand still long enough to listen to it, that's all. There's a Trinity they don't believe is three gods. That's heathenism. And the oneness don't believe that Christ was His own daddy. So what would that be? See? But you both believe the same thing. But as long as you fuss, God's never going to bless you. When you just tear your walls down, be brothers and shake one another's hands, God will come in and bless you. That's exactly right. But you'll never isolate yourself and get anything from God, because we've got to not imitate, impersonate. You've got to have it. That's exactly right. There's too much pretension of Christianity. Pretending. So-called Christianity. But Christianity is not nothing you pretend. You've got to have it. You've got to have it. The devil knows whether you've got it or not. He knows all about it. No matter how much you can put on a great psychological effect on the outside, the devil knows just how deep that is, and he's standing to laugh at you. Certainly. He knows he's got you whipped to begin with. But when God, in the stillness of His Spirit, has placed it in you, the devil can't stand on that ground. He can't guile that sand with his dirty hoofs. Certainly he can't come to that place, because it's a place where God and man meets alone. See? Now, like the Son of God, like all the water that was in the whole world, was the Spirit that was within Him. He had the Spirit without measure. We have it by measure. That's the Scripture? All right. Now say this little gift here would be a spoonful of water out of the whole ocean. That would be comparison with this little gift, the sight of the Son of God. But remember, one spoonful of water out of the ocean is part of the ocean. Do you get it? In quality, the same. In quantity, much smaller. See, much smaller. Now, that's the reason, but the same chemicals that's in the whole ocean is in this one little spoonful. It's the same type. And that's how that you, by your faith, touch God and He answers back that way. That's the way it was in the Bible. That's the way it is now. It's been kind of hard to get the English-speaking people to understand that. Very hard. But this great vision that the Lord gave in January, I believe is just now unfolding, and I'll make this announcement in this arena here, that I believe that my ministry is unfolding to something it's never been in before. That's right. Now, we're going to speak of our blessed Lord Jesus this afternoon. Someone said to me one time, said, Brother Branham, is this one fault I can find to you? I said, well, you're just one fault. That's good. Said, but that is you brag too much on Jesus. I said, what? Said, you brag too much on Jesus. I said, I couldn't brag too much on Him. No matter what I'd ever say, I still can't brag enough on Him. I can't find the words to speak to exalt Him high enough. I can't find the gifts anywhere to declare Him. He's beyond that. I said, will you brag so much about Him? I said, He's worthy of every word I would say and every word or every praise that we could give Him. And I love Him. And we want to talk to Him, and I know you do too. That's why you're here this afternoon. You love Him. You long to see Him. There's something in your heart that longs for that place where you know you've come from. It's behind the curtain. Just the human heart is hungering to get in behind that curtain again, to look past the curtain. That's why we come together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to see what God will tell us. Now, by the grace of God, I have chosen this afternoon to read a little scripture out of St. Matthew, the 17th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. And I'm going to read a few verses because I love the reading of God's Word. How many loves to read God's Word? Just, oh my. The reason I read it is because I'm such a poor speaker and a substitute for His servant. I know if I read His words and nothing else is done but reading His words, some good will come from the meeting. His words will not fail. Mine will. So if I read His, that'll be enough just reading that word till the people have something that's eternal and cannot fail. So let us read now as we look in the Bible.